We'll be turning our Bibles. If you have remembered to carry a Bible, to Song of Songs, Song of Songs. And I hope to bring a message from the 8th chapter. Song of Solomon is our text, and we'll be reading together two verses from there, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." I had the privilege of taking Msopelo and Annette through premarital counseling. And very early in that counseling process, they asked me to preach from the book of Song of Solomon, as indeed many, many young couples have done in the past, and to preach from that on this special day. And so this afternoon, I wish to fulfill that desire of theirs by drawing your attention to this book and specifically to this text. And the text I have selected for this wedding is perhaps the greatest poem on love ever expressed. It is part of a series of love poems exchanged between Solomon and his bride. Viewed together, these poems are an expression of the evolution or development of love in a relationship. And this particular poem we will be considering together briefly in this sermon is the crown of them all, for it celebrates the conquering character of love, and as it does so, offers to the world a description of the characteristics of true love. One commentator writes that these verses are the most memorable and the most intense of the whole book. And there are three things I want to share, especially with them and through them with all of us, as we think together on the characteristics of true love. There are obviously many characteristics of true love we could find in the book of Song of Solomon, but this afternoon I want to focus on three of them, only three of them. The first is that true love is possessive. It is possessive. And this is what Solomon is getting at, or shall I say the Shulamite is getting at, when she says in verse 6a, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm." In biblical times, a seal was often a ring worn on the finger. Hot wax was placed on a document, and then the seal on the ring was stamped on the wax. It showed everyone who the owner of the document was. In other words, when she says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart and as a seal upon your arm," she was effectively saying, "I am giving myself to you as a sign of my love for you. I will be your possession. The Shulamite is literally saying, possess me. Not just in a one-night stand, as it were, but possess me forever. In saying this, she is obviously saying that the sign, the seal, which is the sign, is in fact a sign of commitment, a sign of permanent ownership. Note that she says, place me as a seal upon your heart. Notice that word, heart. The heart in those days was deemed to be the place where you not only loved, but also thought. If that is the case, then the Shulamite is saying, make me the center of your inner world. Love me and think about me. Place me like a seal on your arm, she also says in the early part of that verse. And when she says, place me as a seal on your arm, she's not saying, let's walk arm in arm, as couples would do in our day and age. Rather, the arm was a symbol of a man's actions. He works with his hands. He labors with his hands. So in saying, place me as a seal on your arm, she is saying, in all his actions, in all his labors, she must be at the center. Possess me. And now that I am your possession, hold on to me and love me. One of the homeworks I give to couples that I take through premarital counseling is to indicate something of their desires. I ask them to write down what they would like their friend, their spouse, to be to them and to do for them. And I can very distinctly remember one of the things Annette wrote. I want him to love me. Did you? Yes. I want him to love me. Now that I am yours, hold on to me. Love me. And Solomon, the Shulamite, in speaking about this love, she compares it to three things. First, she says he must love her as strongly as death claims its victims. For here she says, love is as strong as death. And she wants to experience something of the strength of that love from her husband, Solomon. And death, as you know, is very strong. No one can resist death. Not this side of eternity. Death conquers all. The great and the strong, the poor and the weak, the significant and the significant. It conquers all. None can resist it. It is irresistible. It is unshakable. And this woman wants her husband to love her with the strength that death exudes. Not only that, he must love her as jealously as the grave holds on to the dead. The dead can't lift themselves out of the grave. They are held there. They are enclosed there. They can do nothing to get themselves out of there. And the grave wants them there. The grave jealously guards them, holds on to them, keeps them to itself. And the grave will do so until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That jealousy, the strength of jealousy, the grave shows, that is what she desires, he expresses over her, for her. Not only that, she wants him to love her as vehemently as a flame of fire consumes all of its objects. And the fire spares no effort in consuming whatever it can as quickly as possible. That vehemency and this vehemency, this flame symbolizes passion. The passion with which we love our spouses. This woman wants him to do it with the vehemency of a flame of fire. That's what she's saying. I'm yours. Not yours to abuse. Not yours to ignore. But yours to love. And to love me in this manner. Unfortunately, we live in a time in which marriages break up and end. In some places like the USA, I couldn't get statistics for Zambia. We are not very good at keeping statistics. But in the USA, for every 2 marriages, there is 1 divorce. 50% of marriages that are brought into being will end up in divorce. Here in Zambia, there is no doubt that the statistics are also on the rise. The Shulamite is saying, don't let go of me. Don't let me go. Hold on to me. I'm yours. Possess me. Place me on your heart. Not on your sleeve. On your heart and hold on to me. Of course, she is suggesting that she desires permanent love. She desires to be possessed permanently. True love is not here today and gone tomorrow. It's there to stay. If you are married this afternoon, I wonder, is it morning still? Morning. I wonder. No, it's afternoon. I wonder. Is this how you love? Is there a permanency to it? A commitment to possess forever? Or even as you go into it, you are leaving room for divorce. Perhaps even hoping that one day you will throw her away in favor of another. True love is possessive. Secondly, true love is inextinguishable. True love is inextinguishable. In verse 7, We read, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. This woman compares love with fire, because love is experienced as a passion, isn't it? It feels like a fire burning within. Now she says, when that love is true, it cannot be quenched. Many waters cannot quench it. She also seems to compare love to life that cannot be drowned out. Floods cannot drown it. So similarly, the waters of sin must not drown or quench your love. And those floods, those waters will be there. Envy can kill your marriage. Pride can kill your marriage. Rudeness and arrogance can kill your marriage. Selfishness, provocation, evil thinking can kill your marriage. These waters will come. These waters will be there. But when they do come, they should find your love so strong that they cannot quench it. There will be floods like rival attractions. And I always remind couples that when you get married, other men and women don't stop looking attractive. Other men and women don't stop trying to have a go at you. They do continue looking attractive. They do continue looking good. And they can attract you in spite of the covenant you have made. Those floods will come. Difficult circumstances will come. Conflict will come. You will also experience suffering of one form or the other. These floods will come. But when they come, they should find your love alive and strong. And they should be unable to drown it. Opportunistic intrusions from relatives and friends will come. The same relatives who are hululetting today, some of those will want to see your marriage die. When those intrusions come, they should find your love strong, unable to be moved. Your vows today are an expression, should be an expression, of a love that is not willing to die. Thirdly and finally, true love is priceless. True love is priceless. Verse 7 says, if a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, whatever he owns, whatever he considers wealth in his house, if he should bring that forward, the Shulamite is saying it will be utterly despised. It couldn't possibly buy love. You can buy sex, and shame on you if you are doing it. But you can't buy sex. But you can't buy love. Money can buy many things, but it can't buy love. Love is invaluable. Love is priceless. Ultimately, only God can give it to you freely. True love, which the Bible also refers to as agape, is not a form of natural affection, however intense. It is the supernatural fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, we read, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is the first. Agape. It's from the Spirit. It's from God. And it can't die. It doesn't die. It cannot be bought. It's given of God. I want to end with three quick ideas. The love we are describing, which is possessive, which is inextinguishable and priceless, can be pictured in the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, which is his bride, is the greatest picture of true love. This picture is ultimately what this love is portraying. This is ultimately what Solomon and the Shulamite are depicting. The relationship between Christ and the church. Jesus' love for the church is a possessive love. It cannot be extinguished. The Bible says nothing can separate you, if you are a believer, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Nothing. My message to you, therefore, is that you must love like this. Love the way Jesus loves. Possess. See to it that your love is inextinguishable. And see to it that you cherish your spouse. See to it that that is the case. Love like this. And then finally, nurture this love. Nurture this love. So many marriages fail because there is no nurturing of love. How do you nurture this love? If I had the time, I would take you through the book of Song of Solomon and show you how this couple related. Their love was rooted in God. They were preoccupied with each other. They communicated words of endearment, words of appreciation, words that were uncritical. They showed that they cared for each other. They cherished each other. And they seemed to do it every day. Nurture this love. Invest in it. It won't grow on its own. It won't deepen by itself. You need to put something into it. Now that you have declared your vows, you have exchanged your vows, it is not time to sit back and watch yourselves and hope that somehow this relationship will just grow and grow and grow. You must invest into it. Nurture it. And when you do, you would, with a good conscience, be able to say something similar to what the Shulamite is saying to her husband. Please notice that it's the woman saying it to the husband. Sometimes wives deceive themselves into thinking they are there to be loved. They are not there to return the love. The man must say it. My job is to hear it. Now that is true. But I just want to remind you here that it's the Shulamite who is saying this to her husband. Yes, she is reminding him to love her. But there are many places where she also reminds him that she loves him. She is crazy about him. She desires him. She misses him. It must be a mutual thing. But I end on this note. If this is a call from the Shulamite to her husband, what a challenge this is to you men. She says, set me as a seal upon your heart. Make me have a place in that heart, the center of your being, as it were. And love me in such a way that you will love me forever. In such a way that your love will never ever be extinguished by anything. What a challenge. And that is the challenge we lay before you, Musopelo, this afternoon. And before all of you men who are married this afternoon. Amen.